broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 6th in the year of our Lord, 2016. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances put in place by the founders. Absolutely brilliant. This is indeed our one of two. Man, I hope you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country and full of the protection of life, liberty, and property and all things wonderful. You know, we need to govern ourselves, folks. You wonder why we have such out-of-control governments, because most people aren't very self-governed. You know, the only reason government's grown as it has is because there's a void. There's a problem when people don't govern themselves. Government decides it better fix it. It better solve it. It better do something. Not suggesting that's justifiable in many cases, but telling you that's the way of governments. The solution is for good, honest American people to govern themselves, and then they wouldn't need to be governed. All right, quickly, a recap of Friday's Freedom, Love, and Hard-Hitting broadcast, brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys. Thepowermall.com, incredible specials. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Thepowermall.com or dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Paul Ryan breaks his silence. Basically endorses Trump, will vote for him for president. He's not happy about it, but there it is. Paul Ryan and the Donald having private meetings. All right. Donald Trump was asked, what's the best thing you like about Paul Ryan? What policy, what thing do you think is the, you know, do you agree with the most? He agrees with Paul Ryan. He says, Paul Ryan's great. We're going to do great things. Very interesting, weird twist. What does Trump stand for? I'm not really sure, except for maybe election. Walmart shows off new drone technology to replace workers. You know, there's a big battle. The forced increase minimum wages, the changes to the overtime laws. Are these businesses going to dump employees left and right and go to automated tasks? Time will tell, but it sure looks like it. Walmart showing off new drone technology. They say the drone technology can literally fly up and down aisles and determine stock levels as much in one day an employee can do in a month. Amazing. The drone, they say, is particularly useful for checking stock levels. Wow. Number of Americans not in the workforce exceeds 90 million. 94 million plus for the fifth month in a row. And then they tell you unemployment's at virtually significant lows. White House moving to make millions available for overtime. We went into the details on that guidance from your government. Where's Congress when you need them? But it's all based on this congressional FLSA legislation. It'll all take place this December 2016. You're talking about the Labor Act, all by your government, meddling with small business. Yeah, they just announced the standards, the final changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act. Yeah, the DOL, that's the Department of Labor. See, they got all these acronyms. But it all means government meddling in the private contracts between employer and employee. It's tragic, to say the least. If you have salaried exempt workers, your business will likely be impacted by the new Department of Labor DOL regulations. The minimum salary, they say, will be updated every 3 years, beginning January 1, 2020. We talked about that. Hour two, we had our guest on, Richard Mack, Sheriff Mack, richardmack.com, cspoa.org. We talked about the Southwest, incredible heat wave down there. They expected it to be 118 degrees. Holy moly. Then they got a storm kicking up on Florida. Rain big time. We talked about a student who unfurled Confederate flag in class. He declared it White Privilege Day. Police were called. The student, of course, was suspended. I don't believe that the Confederate flag is a racist flag. I believe it has to do with states' rights in the battle of the Civil War. It's a historic reality. It doesn't mean those who believe in the viewpoints of the South and or that side of the war are racist or bigots in any way. And I reject an idea that you're going to call it White Privilege Day. I don't believe in white privilege anyway. There's plenty of white people that are broke and poor. There's plenty of people like Barack Obama that are only half white and they're super rich. Where'd that privilege come? He didn't just get half privilege, did he? That might be black privilege. They pretty much launched him into the White House saying it'd be the first black guy in the White House, even though he's half white. What gives? But anyway, police were called. This guy was arrested. Just crazy stuff everywhere. Congress on track to double national debt, trying to blame it on Obama. They say the debt's going to hit $20 trillion before Barack leaves office. Now, here's what's fascinating. Remember, the House of Representatives holds the purse strings. They're the ones that spend or deny spending. So when they say Barack doubled the debt, it's bogus. Congress doubled the debt. They're trying to blame it all on Barack. Not that I'm defending Barack Obama. I'm just helping you understand constitutional divisions of power, checks and balances, and realities. Right? All right. They had a Trump rally. American flag burning mob terrorizes and attacks Trump supporters, and then they blame it all on Trump. Clinton chief of staff Cheryl Mills suffers unexpected bout of memory loss during 7 hours of deposition. Hillary's IT guy pleads the fifth, and the Navy is celebrating June as LGBT Pride Month. Man, that's a recap of Friday's broadcast. Without further ado, Kurt Crosby's with me. News the Network Refused to Use starts now. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutation. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt's still on the road celebrating a family reunion, I think, which is one thing we absolutely support on this broadcast. So good for Kurt. He'll be back in studio with us tomorrow. Riding shotgun today, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Now, there's so much to talk about. I mentioned that the economy is just melting down, but there are solutions, and they're on tap. Audit the Fed bill update, Lowell.
Awesome news, gentlemen. The audit the Fed bill in the House was marked up in committee last month, and it's been a while since we've talked. But this has happened a couple of weeks ago, and all six of the congressmen from Save Utah now are on board. They have co-sponsored the bill, and that's good news. The bill will be heard sometime on the floor of the House. We're hoping this month or next, and then it will go to the Senate, where we'll force the Senate to take a vote on it. And during an election year, of course, this puts us in a position of a win-win position, basically, because if a senator votes against it, then he worsens his chance of re-election, and getting the bad wood out of the way is always a good thing. And if he votes for the bill, you know, that's a good thing. It's a win for us. And maybe we'll finally get the Fed audited, which is just one essential step on the way to ending the Fed, which is probably, you know, the Fed. I view the Fed as probably the worst instrument in the toolbox of Keynesian economists, which have been running this country for over 100 years. So that was good news. We got the bill out of committee. And it's heading to the floor of the House.
And I think that's wonderful news. I think at the least it will hopefully force a vote to determine where people stand. And if they're for freedom, for accountability, then we keep them in office. And if they're against it, we certainly make sure that they, you know, don't get the next go-round, if you will. That's one of the, in my opinion, last defenses that we have to just remove them from office. It doesn't happen enough these days, but it can if we the people get together and make sure that it does. But one thing I find fascinating about this is it's hard to know where we stand. What do you think our chances are? Likely it'll pass the House and fail the Senate again?
That's probably likely, sure. That's If I were an outsider looking at it, that's what I would predict. If it has passed the House for the, previous two or three Congresses, but it's always died in the Senate. 1 year, Harry Reid wouldn't let them take a vote on it. Last year, they had 55 or 54 votes for it, but that's not the necessary number, 60, to break a filibuster. And so they never were able to take a vote on it last time around in the Senate.
And some people would ask, well, why do it then, Sam, if you know that going in? I'll explain in seconds. It has tremendous value, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your eye on the ball, please. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do it without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I mentioned, hey, Sam, if you know full well that we're going to pass this thing in the House and it's going to fail in the Senate, why push for out at the Fed so far? Isn't that a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of work for nothing, Sam? You know it's not going to go anywhere. And my response is, oh, my fellow Americans, quite the contrary. The reality is the more we push for things, the more educated the citizenry becomes. Not only that, the more accountable bureaucrats become. Just because they passed it or just because they reject it, whatever the case may be, they know full well that it gains steam, that it grows, and that they have to be on the right side of what's really happening in the minds and hearts and beliefs and views and expectations of Americans. And so even though we don't have it done, think about it. Before, for years and years and years, my whole life, I was born in the 60s, till 2008, I knew there was a problem with the Fed, but it wasn't even a national issue for discussion. Ron Paul took to the campaign stage, got included in the debates because he was quite popular. The government did everything they could to shut him down, to railroad him, to manipulate the truth, but nevertheless, he got the word out, and Americans grabbed onto it like, wow. Brush fires of freedom were started in the minds and hearts of Americans. And since then, it has been a discussion point growing in popularity, growing in educational opportunities and in understanding and in discussion points at higher and higher levels of government with more support every single time, lull. If we keep the push up, if we keep working on it, we eventually will have success. To let it go is the mistake. To look at it as an election cycle or a single push is our error as the American people. If we keep on it, if we work at it, if we educate, if we join together, if we gain understanding, if we then, well, there'll be accountability. They've had to deal with this every single year now, haven't they?
Well, that's right. The other thing is happens is that as the people are not going to eliminate the Fed without knowing the damage the Fed is doing. And nobody's going to believe that the Fed is doing damage unless it can be shown that it's been doing damage. And so auditing the Fed really is an important first step. You remember a year ago, Sam, when the first so-called audit was done, and it was revealed that the Fed had loaned something like $14 trillion to other central banks and giveaways, and it enraged the American the public, and while most Americans probably have forgotten about that, at the time it was huge, and that was one of the reasons why we were able to get so much support for the current audit the Fed bills, you know, full audit. I mean, even that cursory audit, which revealed trillions of dollars being either given away or loaned away, has helped to push the current movement. So the American people are going to be astonished when a full audit is done and when they see how many dollars, trillions of dollars, the Fed has simply wasted and thereby contributed to the decline of the purchasing power of the dollars in their own pocketbooks. That, you know, the economic engine or the economic reason sometimes are the strongest reasons that motivate somebody to take action. When you can demonstrate that the government is taking your money and devaluing whatever savings you might have and using it on these boondoggles, then you enrage the American public and you get much more support for something which would eventually end the Fed. So I'm really optimistic.
What do you say, Kurt? Are you optimistic?
Well, as they say, I like to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with me, you know. But the key point about the Fed is, we got it in 1913. And that's one of the original reasons, I think, and like number 13 is an unlucky number. Ever since then, you know, we've been fighting that, you know, big insider battle versus the freedom lovers, the king men versus the free men. It's been going on ever since, and I don't think it's going to stop, but we have a duty to do our best in this battle.
Amen to that. All right. Anyway, critical points of
one
discussion.
Reason to fight this, gentlemen, is, and you've mentioned this on your show before, I just want to bring it to light one more time, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ said he commanded his people to use a system of just weights and measures. And when you really look at the foundations of money, money was a weight, right? I mean, a dollar is really a unit of weight when you get right down to the correct definition of money or correct definition of a dollar. It's a unit of weight. And the reason nations fall is because they are dishonest. And using a fiat currency where the government can simply declare that something has value, which has no intrinsic value, you know, like a piece of paper, is inherently dishonest, and it violates the laws of God. And you have said on this program many times, Sam, and I agree 100%, we can never expect the full blessings of heaven if we continue to violate her laws. And therefore, we must. This is a battle we must continue to fight. Any Christian who doesn't understand the importance of an honest system, a just system of weights and measures, needs to take that lesson to heart, to study the Bible, to study Scripture, and to understand why dishonesty in money leads to a corruption of the morality of the people.
It's a vital component if we really want to restore liberty. A lot of people just say, well, Sam, I'm not as religious as you are. Sam, I don't, you know, go to an organized church. Or Sam, I don't know that I believe in God the way you do. And my response is, that's okay. However, we must claim the moral high ground. We must realize there's a greater source of authority than government. And we must be willing to obey certain guidelines for liberty. And I would say, rather than dividing on the keys to theology, let's stand on the Ten Commandments and say, you know what? I believe it's an inspired guideline from God. Nevertheless, if you don't believe that, just know that it's a great 10 ideas that have proven to work well in civilized society. Take it how you want to. But as long as we do the things that garner this viewpoint, that qualify us for liberty by our actions, by our thoughts, and by our behavior, then the blessings can come our way. And everybody's at their own kind of crossroads in terms of where they believe and what they believe and how, but we can unite on simple principles proven historically to be successful. It's that simple. All right. Audit the Fed to come out of committee. That's great news. Put the pressure on everywhere, would you please? Now, Ron Paul has a view of the Obama administration's unconstitutional edict regarding transgender bathrooms or facilities at school, Lowell. And there's several of us who have written about this. Daryl Castle, presidential candidate on the Constitution Party candidacy, has written about this. I wrote an article about this that I just emailed you. Ron Paul's writing about it. This is a serious topic because, in my opinion, if we let the president cross this line, there's nothing he can't cross, sir.
That's right, Sam. Now, Ron Paul takes a view which many people, I think, can adhere to, and that is the right of the property owner, right? I mean, if Target wants to have a policy, they're a private business. They can have whatever policy they want. You and your business, Sam, you can have whatever policy you want because you own your property, and you are the one that set the rules on your property. If you want to have a bathroom for transgenders, that's up to you. And I should respect your right to do with your property what you want to do with it. Similarly, government should not be meddling in the affairs of private property owners to, you know, command them to do one thing or another.
Couldn't agree more. Lowell Nelson in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. CampaignForLiberty.org on your favorite news the networks refuse to use talk station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Seattle resident Che Taylor was a suspect in a narcotics deal when he was fatally shot by two Seattle police officers last January. Taylor was known to be an ex-con with a violent record, and the officers who shot him insisted that they were acting in fear for their lives. A .45-caliber handgun was reportedly found in the floorboards of Taylor's vehicle after the shooting. However, that gun had been purchased in 2013 by former King County Sheriff's Deputy Daniel Murphy, who was later fired after being accused of felony harassment for threatening to murder his girlfriend. Murphy, who now resides in Utah, has filed a grievance with his police union in Washington and may get his old job back. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, left-leaning Russia scholar Stephen Cohen, writing at The Nation magazine, points out that we have been watching for nearly a month a steady buildup of American and NATO forces along Russia's borders, on land, on the sea, and in the air. There has been nothing like this on Russia's borders, such an amassing of hostile military force, since the German invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941. Global Affairs commentator Pepe Escobar warns that Moscow has more than ample means to call NATO's bluff should hostilities ensue in Europe. If push comes to nuclear shove, the S-400 and especially the S-500 anti-missile missiles would block all incoming U.S. ICBMs, cruise missiles, and stealth aircraft, he writes. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Lowell Nelson, Kurt Cosby, Sam Bushman live on your radio, talking about, obviously, the simple principles of liberty that have been lost in America, but must be restored if we have a prayer to be free. Folks, we're talking about this idea about these transgender bathrooms. And Ron Paul is making a wise point that, listen, the government ought to not be in this mix at all. You know what? If Target, if a private property owner wants to have transgender bathrooms, let them. If they don't, fine. It should be up to the business. And what we got is property rights conflicting with government edicts from the wrong branch of government, Lowell.
You know, the very notion that government has to be involved in order to protect the rights of individuals is a flawed notion, and it takes us down the wrong path because it leads us to believe that that government is the source and the protector of our rights. And you know, that's simply not true. Our rights come from our Creator, and we have those rights. They don't come from government. If we fall for this mistaken notion that our rights come from government, then they can be revoked by government as well. And so that's why it's so important for individuals to understand where their rights come from, and then respect the rights of other people and other property owners to do with their property what they choose to do. You and I, as consumers, we can choose to shop at Target, or we can choose not to shop at Target, and that's perfectly fine. But let Target choose whatever policy they want to choose, and government simply should not have its nose in this fight, especially not the federal government. The federal government has no warrant in the Constitution to be meddling in the affairs of business. I mean, that's a domestic issue. And domestic, power for domestic issues was never given by the states, never vested in Congress or the national executive or the national courts. And therefore, any ruling, any bureaucratic regulation, any congressional statute, or any presidential order relating to this particular issue, you know, which is very, very domestic, really ought to be ignored, ought to be nullified and ignored. And I'll just say one other thing about this, Sam, is that I think it's foolish and short-sighted for states to be suing the federal government over this edict in federal court. I mean, don't they see a conflict of interest there, Sam?
You would sure think so, sir. But I don't know that I see it. Let me give you an example that I think is really sad in government. Government's supposed to protect life, liberty, and property. Government's supposed to, allow people to worship how, where, what they may. Government's supposed to just make sure that there's kind of an equal playing field for everyone. There's a place to go to for redress of grievance. Government should be really, really simple. But what government's done, in my humble opinion, is taken the role of advocating and promoting immorality at the highest levels. And I want to use gambling as a great example to make my point, Lowell. You know, back in the day, in our founding era, there was a lot of people that gambled. There was a lot of people that lived pretty unsavory lives. No question about it. However, the gambling was done in the back rooms. It was done in the saloons. It was done on the docks where the freight workers or the lower class workers were. And it was pretty much tolerated but not really accepted by moral or civilized society. And even a man who lived in the civilized society had to kind of slink away and sneak out and go gambling and then come back, or his reputation would be in question, kind of a thing. Now what we've done is we've said, hey, gambling is top and center. Go to Vegas. You'll see what I mean. Glittery lights promoted to the high heavens and backed by government. Government gives a special privilege, a license to cheat everybody else. When you go into a gambling hall, understand that the government has partnered to steal from you and granted permission to do so for filthy lucre. Now, I bring that up as a comparison to this scenario. You know what? I'm not saying there wasn't gay or lesbian people in the history of the world or transgender people or whatever, but now what we're doing is from the highest office of the land, virtually forcing this immorality on the rest of us. And that's why this is so critical to reject, Lowell. I even took the time to write an article about this. This is all politically driven. This is not justice. This is not education. This is pure tyranny coming down from the top with an agenda, an immoral agenda to force on the rest of us. Your thoughts?
Well, that's a great point, Sam. I read your article and obviously agree with it. It's well written. It's succinct. It's very brief, and it hits hard, just like you say. Government has departed a long ways from its primary role, which is to preserve life, liberty, and property, and instead it's becoming more meddlesome. The recent housing act that was passed is another indication about that. You've talked about that, where they want to be able to dictate to neighborhoods who gets to live in this neighborhood, because if it's not diverse enough, once we give the federal government a power to decide who your neighbors can be, then I mean it's just another intervention. And it will lead to unrest. And, I mean, when people can't use their property and sell it to who they want to sell it to, it all comes down to property rights, Sam. More and more, life, liberty, and property. You know, when the founders talked about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they really meant the right and control of property. And, they were being eloquent with the Declaration of Independence, but I would have preferred them to use the word property. They chose to use pursuit of happiness, but in translating that, government's primary duty, primary prime directive, is to protect the rights of property owners. And if they would stick to that primary role, then we would be a much happier and a more prosperous people.
Amen to that. Kurt, you want to chime in? In my humble opinion, one of the things we need to understand about this, it's all over money. Barack knows he doesn't have authority to push this agenda, but it's an edict that a force, and he's going to basically use, again, filthy lucre against us all. He's going to say, listen, if you don't do it, I'm going to deny you money for education, as if he has the purse strings. So he's violating the congressional responsibility in the House. But the House and the president at the federal level don't even have authority to spend money in this regard. It's unconstitutional. But again, what he's going to do is say, he's going to humbly force this upon us, but he's going to use money as the trigger point. I'm waiting for the first state to have the integrity to stand up and say, we're not doing this. You know what? If you want to play a money battle, we'll prevent money from going to you too, federal government. And there's got to be somebody to draw a line in the sand here peacefully to solve this. I just don't see it happening, Lowell. The states don't have any guts yet.
Well, I sure wish they did too, Sam, because if the feds can make that type of threat, then the states really ought to, instead of suing the federal government in a federal court where the outcome is all but known, they should just withhold their funds from the federal government. In fact, I would prefer that they pass a law indemnifying the citizens of their state from prosecution by the feds or by the IRS for failure to file and pay taxes to the feds. I mean, that would do more to stir the pot and to assert a state sovereignty than any other thing they could do. Because then what would happen is the citizens of the state would not pay their taxes to the federal government. They would break that link, you know, the direct connection between the citizen and the federal government, and then the states would interpose in defense of their citizens if and when the IRS and the feds come after the citizens.
All right. It seems like we got a road of hope for sure. But I hope we, the American people, can see the truth for what it is. And if we audit the Fed and stop Barack on violating property rights, because that's what this really is, and using the leadership in government, using government to promote immorality, that's really a line the American people need to say, wait a minute, Barack, you're out of control. But I don't really hear a whimper from the Republicans or the Democrats hardly at all. A couple of Christian groups have stood up and Liberty Roundtable, but for the most part, I don't even hear it being discussed. In fact, I don't even know where Donald stands on it, except for he said, oh, Bruce Jenner, or whatever her name is, Caitlyn Jenner, can go ahead and use whatever bathroom she wants in the Trump Towers. And that's all I've heard about it.
One other side effect of this, Sam, is that more people are being discouraged from attending public schools and therefore repairing to private schools and to home schools. I think this one edict has done more to bolster attendance at home school and private school than any single thing in the last 4 years.
I think you're right, and I hope Americans get a clue, start paying attention. After all, this kind of brings up a general state sovereignty question as a whole. Do we have sovereignty at all when we allow this edict to come down with no authority, no law, no legislative agenda, but yet an agenda from a single man who claims he has financial authority? We'll talk about it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So we're talking about sovereignty of states, and I maintain until states learn to stand on their own 2 feet financially, they won't have sovereignty. Kurt, you want to chime in on this? It's amazing how we think we can take the money, but there'll be no strings or no obligations or no agenda attached. It's a false notion, to say the least. I don't see why we don't get it yet. It's kind of like financial 101, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and we're seeing a little bit of a move. I'm not talking about a massive one, but when we see at least these states kind of join up and say, hey, federal government's out of control on the whole bathroom thing, well, it's a step, you know. And from what I can see, I'm just hoping they bring it on, you know, big time from that. Simply because, you know, like Lowell's suggestion, that's a great idea. You just simply indemnify your citizenry of any federal crimes, just like we push with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association to have the sheriff do the protection of his citizenry in his county. The state can do the same thing. The state's governors represent governors, and their representatives can represent their people to the federal government and say, hey, we're just not doing that anymore. Now, we'll pay our fair share when you guys are doing your good behavior. But other than that, don't be messing with our people, you know. And I'll tell you what, it's a great way. America, it's, some people say, oh, that's like treasonous kind of ideas. But if you check out things, you'll realize that our country was intended to have these separations of powers, not only the executive, legislative, and judicial on the federal area, but the counties, the states, and the federal government are each supposed to maintain a certain amount of separation, if you will, I guess.
Great way to put it.
They just haven't done it.
You know? And speaking of that, you know, we often think the feds are way out of control, but don't worry, our state's okay, or don't worry, our counties are okay.
Yep.
Sadly, we're wrong on that count as well. When we speak about state sovereignty or county sovereignty or the separation of powers and the checks and balances, in Utah, right here in Utah County where we live, there's two cities right next to each other called Orem and Provo, Utah. They're where Brigham Young University is. And they got a huge issue that's affecting the whole county. They're pushing for one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, Lowell.
Well, it's called Bus Rapid Transit, Sam, BRT. And basically, it would involve two dedicated lanes of traffic dedicated just to buses between Provo and Orem. They have a route all mapped out there. But they would have fewer stops along this route. They would have, you know, so the buses could proceed a little more quickly along the route. So they'd dedicate the bus lane so there'd never be any stops. The buses would just free flow through there. But everybody in the county would have to pay for this.
Yeah, and the thing, let me just point this out really quick, Lowell. The thing about these buses and these transportation ideas if you don't understand correct principles, they sound phenomenal, right?
They do. Absolutely, yeah. They want to move people efficiently, right? They want to move them inexpensively, right? And so they just haven't been to Mazatlan, Mexico to see how there 290 privately owned buses move hundreds of thousands of people every day for like 7 pesos per bus ride. I mean, it's incredible. And everybody has the proper motivations, not government meddling. And but up here, boy, we have to subsidize these expensive buses, and we have to dedicate certain lanes, you know, to buses. I mean, it's going to result in more congestion, Sam. When somebody asked me yesterday or maybe the day before why I'm opposed to BRT, I had to think, you know, I just thought of the first three reasons that came to my mind. And the reason we're going over this, ladies and gentlemen, or the reason I'm happy that Sam is asking and talking about this is that you probably have something very similar in your community. Wherever you live in the United States, this is a popular trend where you socialize the cost and you privatize the benefit of, you know, transportation or of housing or whatever. And so I think it's instructive to look at their situation here.
Well, and look at Uber as a prime example to make the point. They've actually shattered the cost of transportation places and doing a great job at it.
And they're fast. I mean, you can go anywhere with Uber and Lyft and for much less expensively than you could by taxi. And you're exactly right. So the reasons that I oppose this, number one, there's a moral reason, and that is I don't believe it's right to steal from my neighbor in order to pay for my pet project. And that's what's happening when you use the tax revenues that are amassed by the county to do some, you know, boondoggle like this, which is to build a $200 million bus route, a single route for $200 million, and end up spending over $100 million just in the interest payments on a 32-year bond to do it, to borrow $65 million, which is only a portion of that $200 million boondoggle. It just makes no sense at all, and I don't believe it's right, Sam, for me to take your money to do one of my pet projects. And so that's the moral reason number one. Reason number two is a practical one. I do believe it will increase congestion, because when you take two lanes out of general circulation and dedicate it just to buses, you're going to have fewer lanes of traffic available to handle normal general traffic. And then the reason number three, in my opinion, this is a waste of, it's a misguided use of a resource. If this truly were a good idea, then you'd have private industry coming in and wanting to do something like this. But you don't. You have government wanting to do this. And in order to do this, they're going to have to widen the roads, and they're going to use the use of eminent domain to condemn the property of any business owner or homeowner who refuses to sell them the land at the price they offer. They're going to offer some dollars to these landowners, and if the landowners don't take it, then they will use eminent domain to condemn the property and thereby take the property from the landowners. And that simply is not right, Sam.
Amen to that.
But Lowell, remember, if you don't do this, you're going to pass up those free federal dollars. I mean, you got to have that.
Well, that's certainly a carrot that they dangle in front of us, saying, well, we're just getting our own money back, you know. But, you know, that's false. It's tax money that's stolen from the people for public use, and that is morally wrong.
Amen to that. Speaking of morally wrong, last Friday, there's Patriot meetings that go on in Utah County once a month. Usually 300, 400, 500 people show up. Our buddy Oak Norton had the chance to be the speaker last Friday night at that event, and Lowell's got an update on that real quick. Tremendous education. Speaking of education.
Yes, Oak is probably one of the foremost in Utah who understands the problems inherent in our public education, our government education system. His talk was entitled Freedom in Education, subtitled Dancing with Scorpions. He had a great picture of a scorpion there, and in this case, he's likening the scorpion to the various programs that are being shoved down our throats, like Left Behind and the ESSA. They're talking about data testing, SAGE testing, and data gathering on our children. I mean, all of these little scorpions are just waiting to attack and to wound us and to weaken us. It was a delightful talk. I'll just have a couple highlights here. I'd never heard of the Leipzig connection. Leipzig, you know, that city in Germany. It's a university in Germany, apparently, Leipzig. And, you know, he talked about the professors who came from that university and have spent time here at Clark University in the United States and influenced John Dewey, and then gave us half the names of half a dozen people who since that time have been pushing for moral relativism and challenging this idea that there's absolute right and wrong and challenging fixed beliefs. Now, here's a point that I want to drive home, and that is that the education establishment uses nice, beautiful, wonderful language to describe their objectives, but they really mean something different, Sam. You know, they talk about critical thinking, and you and I would most likely say, you know, yeah, I think it's important for my child to learn how to think critically. But what they mean when they say critical thinking is we want to challenge fundamental beliefs. We want to reorganize the child's feelings, thoughts, and attitudes. That's what they mean when they talk about critical thinking. And so it really is devious, and it's diabolical almost when you get right down to what they want to accomplish. And Okas is a great presenter. He has a number of quotes and a lot of evidence. I won't go into all of that. But just challenging and exposing the education establishment for what it is.
Amen to that. I've got great news on a final quick topic before we let you go, Lowell.
Sure.
Thank heavens. They tried to pass a guaranteed free income for everybody in Switzerland, but the Swiss rejected a guaranteed income by 70%.
That is awesome news. I love it. You know, the Swiss, they're ahead of us on so many ways. They don't meddle in other countries' affairs. They, I understand that everybody has firearms. They spend 2 years in military service.
They also have a lot more gold than anybody else, too, speaking of abolishing the Federal Reserve. Thanks, Lowell. We're flat out of time. This nation shall endure.